Thank you, Jesus.
We're stuck with an old computer guy. Been working with computers since they came out. Really? Since 70. Wow. 80, 72, 73, something like that. So I got a story for you, but it's about a computer. Actually, stories about computers are not interesting. Did you know that? Stories about people are interesting.
Amen.
And this is a story about a man and a computer.
Thank you.
This man, he bought a powerful computer. I mean, it was powerful. It could just run rings around most computers. It was a powerful computer. He wanted to do some really wonderful things with it. It was top of the line. I mean, it could do stuff that was just unbelievable. Fast, lots of memory, all that kind of good stuff. The man was very excited. He set up his computer in the main room of his house. He's got his favorite office chair. Pulls it up, you know, gets it all ready, booted it up, sat down, you know, took a deep breath, and played solitaire.
Guilty.
He played
solitaire.
Oh, guilty. Then he played it again. He played it again. And he played it until he got tired of it. The next day he got up and did the same thing. Finally, after many days of playing only solitaire, he grew bored. He got bored with it. Solitaire was interesting, but limited. And the man lost the passion he once had for his computer. He began to use the computer less and less, eventually moved it to a smaller room, and eventually he put it in a closet to gather dust and be ignored. At his fingertips, the man had a machine that would solve so many problems. Could do all kinds of neat stuff. Could go on the internet, connect with many people, do all kinds of things, you know, do marvelous calculations. Change his life dramatically, but all the man knew about the computer centered on solitaire. Perhaps if the man had read the owner's manual, consulted a friend, or bought training software, he would have begun to see glimpses of the ability of this amazing item. But as it was, the man thought he knew it all and instead chose to limit the computer's power with his own ignorance. Through his chosen ignorance, the man refused to use many of the incredible functions and instead chose to give up what could have changed his life forever. That sound familiar? All right, Thurston, you just told on yourself, buddy. Nobody said anything, you just told on yourself.
Yeah.
Actually, we're all guilty of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we laugh along with you, buddy. But, you know, that's what we do, you know. Mm-hmm. We get something that is so powerful, and we think, oh, this is really great, it's going to change my life dramatically. But somehow it fails to do so. Mm-hmm. Somehow it fails to do so. We tie into God, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear about God. Mm-hmm. Does all these wonderful, great things. He created everything. He parted the Red Sea and fire on the mountain and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We say, man, I'm tied into God now. He can do great things. It's going to change my life dramatically. And it does. Mm-hmm. And it does. But after a while, I mean, you know, we go and we say our prayers. You know, we say our prayers and we, you know, read our Bible passage every day that we're supposed mm-hmm. to read. And we go to church and we do all those things. And but after a while, we kind of get bored. Mm-hmm. Now, you understand, I'm not talking about you guys. Okay? I'm talking about other folks, you know. because I realize you guys are here, okay? But you got to understand, this is what happens with a lot of folks, okay?
Yeah.
All right? You know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know. But you got to understand, this is what people are going through. You probably know folks like this, okay? Mm-hmm. And they get bored and they stop going to church, you know? And instead they load up their bass boat. And they head to the lake or the river or something, you know? Mm-hmm. You know? And guys will do it before women will, you know? But what's going on here? What's wrong here? Are we not really tapping in to the limitless potential that God has for us?
Come on, man. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Are we not really seeing God as being the limitless source that we heard he was, that we thought he was? Mm-hmm. The source of excitement.
Yeah.
Source of change.
Yeah.
So that we need change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A source of potential, a source of provision. Mm-hmm. Right? Solve all our problems, right? Don't we look to God? Someone, you know, you can understand, other people look to God, source of all, you know, hey, it's going to solve all my problems. I got God now, right? Mm-hmm. And instead, people say, well, you know, I got more problems now than I had before. You know? I got more problems now than I had before, and I don't know what to do with them. So we just keep doing the same thing until we just get bored. And it's like, we try to do something else. I go back to what I was doing before. I'll just work hard, or I'll just go fishing, or I'll go hunting, or whatever, you know. And we get bored with the Christian life. Well, what we're talking about is being able to tell these folks what the Christian life should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they don't get bored. Right? So they really begin to understand the potential of being the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
The potential of being the Son of God, and begin to realize that. Now, the man, he has done several things to improve how he used the computer. Anybody got any suggestions? You know, what could a man have done to help him use the computer?
I think Lutherson has.
You could have done a lot with it. You could have created and generated a website, a forum or something. Could have,
wow, that's good.
There's so many things you can do on it. You can create his own programs. He can create or reamp new programs or programs that are already there. You can do so much. But
that is so true.
And research online how to do all that.
Yeah, you needed to know how to do stuff.
Exactly. You could have at least made Solitaire a little better. I mean, if that's one thing you went to all the time, you could have reamped that up. Something.
Okay. Someone else?
Going on Facebook and giving a testimony that pastor has been after us to do. I mean, it's there. And you talk to hundreds of people, you know, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And yet we play Solitaire.
Amen.
And you do video or audio on it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things you can do. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mary, come in.
Yay.
It's so good to see you. Wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you.
I actually had a dream about you, Dave. We just said you were sitting here.
Well, good. I'm sitting here. Prophecy. Yes, I could not stop coming.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you
That's
see
awesome.
Here?
That's tripped out right there.
Well, I've never done that to anybody. To my knowledge.
That's great. Just told a story about a man who owned a huge, wonderful, all-powerful computer, mm-hmm. and played Solitaire on it constantly, and then finally got bored and put it in the closet. So we're exploring what we could have done with
what,
that.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the Christian life.
Amen.
So the man could have done these things that people just mentioned. He could have read the owner's manual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yuck. Who likes to read the owner's manual? I mean, come on, you know. Well, you've got one person out of all this group likes to read the owner's manual, you know.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And they don't do them right anymore.
I know, they don't, because I go step by step. And I have to call because they leave steps out.
You're right.
Now they give all your manuals to a lot of things. My TV didn't have one. It's on the TV itself.
Yeah. You got to know how to operate before you can operate.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he could have done that, but that's not really a good solution, I can tell right now. You know, nobody likes to read the owner's manual. And we got an owner's manual for our van out there, and I've never read through the whole thing, I must admit. You know, you go dig through it. And he could have. He could have asked someone to help him, a friend that knew how to use computers. Mm-hmm. He could have asked someone to help him, right? Mm-hmm. But the friend, that might have worked, it might not have worked, because, you know, again, this guy had a very powerful computer, very top of the line. The friend might not have been familiar with it. He mm-hmm. might not have known anyone to that, you know, familiarity with that kind of computer sort of thing. You know, I don't know, but, you know, and also, you know, watching someone else do it is not the same as doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can watch somebody, Muffin, she'll be sitting at the computer and says, how do you do this? And I'll come over and I'll do it. You know, she says, what'd you just do? You know, she's watched me do it, but it's not the same as doing it yourself. So that's another way he could have asked a friend to help. Or a third option might have been to have a training session, you know, where he actually does the stuff, whether it's software training or someone coming in and saying, now you do this and this, and you know. So being trained is probably his best option, don't you think? I mean, it's better than the operator's manual. It's been, you know, it's better than watching somebody else do it. Getting trained is really kind of the way to go, because you're doing it, you're learning it. As you do it, okay? And I must admit, this is way back when Micah, my oldest son, was young. And one summer, we had a computer in the house. And one summer, I noticed that he was spending every free moment in there on the computer playing this one particular game. And boy, why can one particular game keep his interest so long? You know, because most games, you know, you play a little bit, you know, it's like solitary, you know? And I went in there and I said, I want to find out what it is that you like about this game. I want to play the game. I want to see what it is that you like about the game. And I found out that that game was actually training software in disguise.
Oh.
It's not, you know, I don't think it was any great, wonderful thing. But it's probably one of the most popular software games.
What was the name of it?
Ever written. StarCraft.
Oh, yeah.
And what it did was, you said, it didn't, you know, you really didn't have a manual. They didn't sell a manual with it. There wasn't a manual on the computer either. There was no manual. You sat down, you started it up, and it walked you through doing everything you needed to do.
Right.
You know, you had a bunch of missions, and every mission, you got a new thing, and you had to learn how to use it in order to do that mission. Okay. Right. So it was a very powerful program. I thought, man, we ought to be using this in our schools. You ought to be using this technique in our schools, right? Where we train people. We don't just tell them a bunch of knowledge. We train people. Mm-hmm. What have we been doing in the church?
Mm-hmm. Knowledge, not training.
We've been telling people things. Mm-hmm. But have we been training them? Mm-hmm.
To go out there.
We trained them. You train someone, and Gwen can tell you about it. You know, they come and they tell you what to do, right? But then what do? You do it. Okay, now you do it.
Over and over.
You get that? Over and over and over and over again.
Over and over.
Over and over and over and over again, right? Until what? You're as good at doing it as your drill sergeant. Maybe some of you, maybe even get better, you know. But, you know, this is what you train people, right? Well, how does this relate to the Christian life? When we talk about computer, how does this relate to the Christian life? Okay? Owner's manual. Okay. This is mine. This is your owner's manual, right? But I have been having a real problem. Okay? And the problem is this. I want to go around and witness and start doing a witnessing campaign. And I want a tract that I can give out to people that will explain the gospel to them and how to get saved. And I start looking through the tracts. That's not good enough. None of the tracts are good enough to me, okay? Because they give part of the gospel. They don't give the whole good news, all right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking through this, okay? Well, let me see. We can just go and give them a Bible. No, man. You give people a Bible, they just,
right.
It's like, you know, giving them an owner's manual. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to find anything in it, you know? I gave a friend of mine a Bible one time because he was a friend and he needed to get into the Word and get the Word in him. And he took it out of the box and he looked at it. It was a really pretty Bible, man. It's really cool. Yeah, I love this Bible. Thank you, Ray, so much. Carefully put it back in the box. Put it up on the shelf. I saw him do this. I did. And as far as I know, it's still up there. You know, it's too nice. It's too nice. You know, it's like it's a trophy. It's a, you know, it's a knife that you buy that's so nice and good you put it up on the wall instead of using it. The blades never cut anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, well, if this is sharper than a two-edged sword, what good is the sharpness? If you never cut anything with it.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's powerful out there?
What good is the sharpness if you never cut anything with it? So I thought, okay, I can't give them a Bible. I thought, New Testament, you know, cut it down to something small they can handle. But I thought, I'll make it that. The New Testament's still too big, you know. So I've been working on a tract myself, okay? And I'm just taking, man, I started out just taking verses, bam, 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 out of the Bible, and sticking them in there, the ones I thought would really speak to them, you know. It's still 14 pages, you know. It's 14 typewriter pages, you know, like this, you know. Oh man, I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to keep working on this thing to get it down small enough and still have everything in it. You know, I want them to have something that will actually be some good to them, you know. Mm-hmm. Not just a little tract that you read, you know, what do you do now, you know? So anyway, the Bible is good, mm-hmm. but you have to study it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to read the Bible. It's good to have your little Bible reading plan, you know. So did you read the whole Bible in a year or whatever, you know? But you really need to study.
Mm-hmm.
Dig in. Pull out the nuggets, you know. I know you all do, but I'm just studying, you know? Okay? Mm-hmm. You need to teach people. The Bible is a great book, but you can't just read it. You've got to take it and read. Study it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, you know, owner's manual, well, you know. The Bible is good, but if you give it to a new Christian, like it is, he may just get bogged down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, having someone come over and do it for you, well, that's good,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that has a limited use, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sees someone else doing it. And that's good because, you know, we have a lot of examples, okay? But if you look around, you look around at the normal, everyday, quote, Christian, nominal Christian, they're not doing wonderful things. Mm-hmm. You see, they're just like everybody else. They're fighting, working to make a living.
Doing life. And, that's what I call it, doing life.
doing life. You know, they go and they, you know, and you don't really see any life in them.
Mm-hmm. Fruit.
Really life in them.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, you know, it's good if you read some of the heroes of the faith. You know, there's a few of them, you know, Albert Finney, George Mueller, some of these other guys that really grabbed hold of faith and walked in it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if y'all know George Mueller. I know Finney, I know, you know, and of course, Papa. What's his name? I can't remember. And so, and there's others like this that are they're actually doing some things. And I got to thinking, yeah, there is another. It can be trained. Well, who's going to train us? Who's going to train a new Christian? The Holy Spirit's going to train us, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we listen to the Holy Spirit, He says that He will teach you all things. He will prompt us.
Here the Holy Spirit is clear until you know the Word, because the Word's spiritual, and you have to connect with your Holy, the Holy Spirit in your spirit,
right, which is your, you know, right,
to let it come out, because it's perfect. It's just like Jesus. Your spirit is just like Jesus. You just got to look into the Word to get the mirror of who you are in Christ Jesus. Well, that's, right. That's why it's so important to know who you are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. The Holy Spirit will help you. So you do need mentors to encourage you to stay in the Word, to explain it until you're you get your soul in line with your spirit as much as you can. Do it, and you'll do it on your own.
Right, exactly.
So it's good to hear words.
That's good, Mary.
Yeah.
That's good, Mary. That is something that we have to teach.
That's kind of
Andrew Womack
talking. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spirit, soul, and body. So.
Yeah, spirit, soul, and body. I like
some that. Of it was mine, but some of it was
Andrew. That's good. I like Andrew. So just
yeah, I ought to do.
Speak Andrew to me all day. That's good. So yeah, if we can train people or assist the Holy Spirit in training people, boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, Christian, like, you have gotten saved from your soul. It is good to repent from your sins, change your mind, and walk a new direction. But let me tell you, in this new direction, there's a lot of stuff down there.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff down there. And see, I'm going to do it on time. We're going to have to grab this up.
Almost time to stop.
Okay. I'm going to leave you with one last thought. One last thought. I was reading and I was thinking, you know, what is it that you really need to teach a new Christian, a new person? If I get somebody saved, I want to know what to do with them.
Make decisions.
If I go walking around the neighborhood and I'm talking to the drug addicts or whatever, you know, and I get them saved, and I'm like, well, what now? You know, I would go, I don't know. It's been so long since I was a new Christian. I have no idea what, you know. I'm not, I'm talking, you know, but that may question kind of comes to your mind. I have no idea. Well, I do have some ideas, but it may not be the right ideas. You know, it might not be the right ideas for them, their situation. And I ran into something that it was on my computer. I put it on it a long time ago, and I went back and reread it, and I thought, this is really good. And in it, the people were looking at the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Someone turn to the Great Commission. You know, it was Matthew, last chapter of Matthew 28, it's 18, 19, and 20. And I can quote it. You probably all know it. I'm a good Baptist, so, you know, I know the Great Commission. But Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's verse 18, and then 19 is where Baptists choose to start out, you know. Really, you can't have a Great Commission unless you got the first, verse 18, right? You're going to have all power and authority in heaven, heaven and earth, right? And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I thought, man, that's a lot of stuff. Teaching everything that he's told them, that's a lot of stuff. But the thing that I discussed guy was making, the biggest look, it doesn't say teach them all the things that Jesus said. Mm-hmm. It said teach them to observe. Teach them to obey.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them obedience
mm-hmm.
to whatever Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Get them trained to obey Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then let them discover over time,
yep.
as Jesus reveals it to them, what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, you don't just dump everything all of it once and say, this is what you need to do. But you train them to obey, and as they learn what Jesus said, they just immediately, okay, I'll obey that. Because that's what I've been trained to do.
When I first got...
Okay.
Go ahead.
When I first got saved, a guy named Chris Lucas, he told me what to watch out for. He said, now that you're on God's side, Satan's going to try to get you back. And he told me some of the tactics he tried. He said, and then he explained that the difference. He said, Christians have a brand new heart, a brand new spirit. He said, you don't have to sin anymore. And that's the difference of a person that when I was a sinner, I couldn't stop. But he said, now you don't have to sin. He brought those kind of things to my attention. And everything that I would, he experienced it before me because he got saved a few months or maybe a year before I did. So he knew the kind of things I'd be going through. And the Holy Spirit always had him to say just what I needed every day.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
That's great.
That's good. When I first got born again,
go ahead. No,
I was 10, 11, and I can remember the experience quite vividly, and I can remember walking around, reading the Old Testament, just full of it. So when you're first born again is when you should start mentoring people. Then I just kind of got to go into church once in a while. And Dick, of course, Bible still had a place because Dick, we were at Six Flags, and the Gideons had put a Bible in there. And he had raised as a child as a Baptist. And he got born again. He started going to church. Well, he got, his Sunday school class came to visit me. First Sunday, I fell in love with Jesus again. And they were there to mentor me, to make sure that I was there. As a result of falling in love with Jesus, I got baptized with Holy Ghost on my own. Everything. I fell in love with what I prayed for. But they were always there for me. They're still there. I know them. And so that's mentoring is so important when you, because the Holy Spirit takes care of everything. You just have to be there for people because they're not back in the, they're in the spiritual right then, and they're close to it. And then when you get them renewed in love with Jesus, that love of Jesus that you first had, it stays and increases. But when you don't, you just get back to the flesh. You have to fear them up. Y'all agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to tell you, most Christians, stuff when they do get saved, they just join the country club. There is no mentoring. Because I've seen that in the Assemblies of God and in the Baptist church big time, where there is no mentoring going on.
This Baptist church is ready to go to that church, and they mentor.
That's awesome. That's what we got to do. We've got to mentor people.
But people have gotten away from that because that takes time.
And it's
part of it. It's what Jesus did. I got the Great Commission right here, but I think you need to combine it with Mark, too. You have to combine the, both of those right there.
16?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing that lately, too. That's good. Yeah.
What I did was I wrote down two or three scriptures concerning healing, prosperity, faith, one little page to give them an appetite to go search the Word and open that brand new Bible. And then from then on, then they would be wanting to learn more about it. That's what I did. I just, one little pagers.
That's great. Know, so. That's great.
That's good, but some people are not going to search you.
Well, yeah, this
you
is
know,
true.
It's according to their appetite. Mm-hmm. Their hunger.
Well, you're right. We got different types of soil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew Womack says that the first sign a Christian leaves, I'm putting it in my words, is the difference between spirit, soul, and body, because that confuses you so much. When you realize all of a sudden you're a new spirit, you don't sin there, it's, that's where God lives. Mm-hmm. How many years did it take for me to find that out? I mean, I found it out on my own, but thank God Andrew Womack had books on it. I didn't know about it. And to know that your soul has to be renewed, you're going to think wrong, you're going to make wrong decisions. But God don't care what you do. God loves you more. He cares what you do, but it don't have any respect on Him. He still loves you. You're His child. You're perfect in His sight because He's spirit. God's a spirit. You worship Him in spirit. You talk to Him in spirit. Spirit, this word is spirit. It's life. And when it's just that simple, if we just taught our children those simple things, that the flesh does things. And because people say, well, if I'm a Christian, why did I go cuss somebody out? Which I've not done my own thing. But it's you have a thoughts. Why do I have these thoughts?
I do the things I do want to do.
It's because you don't sin in your spirit. Then people will say, oh, but you don't habitually sin in your spirit. Well, if you're gluttony and you're fat, you're